This hour of On the Media is devoted to ownership, specifically of intellectual property, mental products, as it were, though later we will take a detour into the physical. Last week, we saw the creation of the DRM chair.
Action!
DRM stands for Digital Rights Management, the safeguards copyright holders build into their digital products. DRM dictates whether you can move a song from one device to another or share it with your friends. This DRM chair I mentioned, developed by a team in Switzerland, only functions for 8 sittings. After each person sits on the chair, a knocking sound indicates how many uses are left. When the counter reaches 0, then the joints start to smoke and the chair collapses. The general message is that digital rights management, as practiced, is absurd.
Nowadays, much of the debate over intellectual property seems to have devolved into two extreme positions, either that intellectual property should be protected for all eternity, or that everything should be free. As Duke Law Professor James Boyle explained a couple of years ago, neither is what the Founding Fathers intended. In the original 1790 Copyright Act, authors were given a term of 14 years in which no one else could encroach on their work. If they were still alive at the end of that period, they could renew it for an additional 14 years.
You give the limited right to the author to encourage production and distribution, and then you end the term and you have this world of free competition. Sadly, in the world of copyright at least, we've given up on that, and we have continued to lengthen the term to a point which is now utterly ridiculous. Copyright today lasts for your life plus 70 years. It's very hard to incentivize dead people to produce new things, but Congress apparently believes that it can.
Well, what you're saying is that if the idea here is to promote our intellectual lives and educate people, extending the copyrights of dead people is not likely to lend itself to that effort.
The tragic thing is that the people who wrote the Statute of Anne and the people who wrote the U.S. Constitution really thought the copyright's goal was about promoting access to knowledge. The idea of a limited term, of holding copyright short, that was central to that notion. That's how we disseminated the ideas. And of course, since lots of works are commercially unavailable, and we don't know who the copyright holders are, we can't find them. They're so-called orphan works. In many cases, copyright acts as a fence, which means you can't distribute works. Even if you wanted to pay, you can't pay. There's no one you can pay to make a new edition, to make a movie out of it. In this case, it's a one-way valve. Copyright takes the stuff in, almost like a black hole, locks it up, and now you can't get it out. This is exactly the opposite of the idea behind the U.S. Constitution, which is, let's promote the flourishing of human creativity.
Jamie, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
James Boyle teaches law at Duke University.
Well, there are good guys and there are bad guys. And there are crooks and criminals. But there are doctors and there are lawyers. And there are folks like you and me.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.